I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier for Christ.
I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Hey, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. It's Friday, and I'm so happy to report that Matt Arnold's joining me here this morning.
Great to be with you.
Thanks for coming, Matt. And yeah, I always like to talk about the Passion of Christ on Fridays, but we've got a great show ahead of us. We're going to be giving you the gospel that we normally do, the Fulton Sheen. But halfway through the show, Father Jim Anderson is going to be coming on board. And he's going to talk about how God saved his life through the angels and how his old vocation was such a beautiful vocation, and how he's now in his elderly years serving Christ in his church, and how happy he is to be a priest. So we're going to talk a little bit about that very topic, the priesthood, because as you know, last night, what did we do at the chapel? For 2.5 hours, we were down on our knees praying before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament for our Pope, our bishops, and our priests, and our seminarians to be holy, holy men of God. So, Matthew, I know that you're here, and I'd like to ask you to read from the Gospel of Luke and then give us some commentary. So we always like to say, you know, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. So please share the good news with us.
Right, our daily soul food here. This is the Gospel for today's Mass in the ordinary form.
That's right.
And it's taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg.'" That's that very famous, everybody knows that from the King James Version.
That's right.
Yeah, to dig I am unable, to beg I am ashamed. "I know what I shall do, so that I'm removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' And he called in the master's debtors one by one. And to the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here's your note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another he said, 'How much do you owe?' And he replied, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Here is your note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Wow.
You know, every time Jesus tells a parable, I mean, these stories are meant to, you know, make you go, what? Right? Like the story of the Good Samaritan. The Jews hated the Samaritans. What? The Samaritan's a good guy? What?
It can't be.
You know? And here we've got a steward who's losing his job because he's been dishonest.
Yeah.
And so on his way out, he's more dishonest.
Yep.
But it says that the master commended him, right? Mm-hmm. That's the part of it that makes you go like, what? What is he talking about? But because he was shrewd.
Exactly.
And that's what he's commenting on. It's like, well, this fellow is assuring his future by, and of course it costs the master money, but he's assuring his future by making these people grateful to him, that they will welcome him into their homes. And the example that Jesus draws for us is that we should do the same with the poor. We should give alms, right? And the Bible says, make friends of the mammon of iniquity, which always was weird to me until I discovered in 16th century English, that means with.
Yeah.
Make friends with the mammon. Use your money, you know, to help people.
Sure.
Don't just hoard it up. And in that way, you're storing up riches in the next life. And the same thing goes with prayer for the souls in purgatory. Because when you give alms, when you pray for the poor souls, then they are going to welcome you. They're going to pray for you. And you will be welcomed into the everlasting dwellings that our Lord is talking about.
Well said. And on Monday, it's funny you should mention that. That's our topic, purgatory.
Mm.
And one of the topics that's a teaser for you is we're going to give you the navigation tools to get your relatives out of purgatory, because there's a door that leads to heaven. That's the only other place they can go to.
Mm-hmm.
From purgatory, there's no going down.
Right, yeah.
It's only going up.
Yeah, it's just like the waiting room, right? You're
there
the anteroom of heaven.
Hey, I want to bring Fulton Sheen in. full steam ahead, because we're going to be talking about the priesthood later with Father Jim Anderson. And folks, you want to wait, because when you hear what Father has to say about his own vocation and how God intervened in his life, it's so beautiful. And we need to be praying for our priests. I mean, Monsignor George Kelly wrote a book back in 1979. Mm-hmm. Never forget it. It was when I was a young man. I was a young man one time.
Yeah.
And it was The Battle for the American Church.
I remember that.
You do. And his thesis said this: where's the church going? Where its leaders take them.
Yep.
And so, holy priest, holy church. And so, Bishop Sheen, in his book, My Uncle Fulton Sheen, it's not his book, it's his niece who wrote the book. It won't be out for about 3 months, but you can get it at Ignatius Press. I just happened to get a review copy because they wanted my endorsement, mm-hmm. and they got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's
what, either you were the right guy to talk to about Fulton Sheen.
You think? Maybe.
Yeah.
So here's what Bishop Sheen said about vocations, because, you know, people are talking, Matt, you hear it all the time. Where are the vocations, whether mm-hmm. it's the Amazon Senate or even America?
Sure.
We're lacking. What Bishop Sheen said in his book, that he said that the number one cause why we have so few vocations and seminarians is because it's the failure to promote sacrifice for both those studying to be priests and those who are already priests. That's the number one reason for the lack of vocations. You know, I think he's spot on, Matt, because if you think about it, many times they talk about, would you please just, you know, it's really a great thing. Well, you got a place to stay. We'll get three meals.
Right, yeah, you don't have to worry about what you're going to wear.
Yeah, and so, no.
As long as you can look good in black.
It's Christ in him crucified. You're going to be another Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as Bishop Sheen says, without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday.
I want to just toss into the mix here, when you talk about sacrifice.
Yes.
You know, I promote devotion to the Blessed Virgin under her title, Our Lady of Good Success.
Big time.
My wife Betty and I did a pilgrimage down there in 2017, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a couple of years ago. And shortly after our pilgrimage, the sisters down there wanted to tell people, hey, you need to use her whole title, that she's Mary of Good Success, Buen Suceso, of the Purification.
Purification.
Because Keto, that's part of her title. And they wrote this beautiful letter about vocations, really, because that's the thing that they pray for. Because at the Purification, it's also the Feast of the Presentation, mm-hmm. that's when the Blessed Virgin, St. Joseph, brought Jesus to the temple. Right? All the firstborn of Israel were brought to the temple to be offered to the service of God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you make the sacrifice for the purification of the mom, and then you go in and you give the baby to the priest.
Right.
And then you pay the priest 2 shekels and he gives the baby back. Right? People don't really, you know, it had become a formal kind of a ritual at that point. But they don't pay the redemption money for Jesus.
Nope.
And what the nuns pointed out, and this is so beautiful, and this is another kind of sacrifice, that of all the sacrifices in the temple, the greatest sacrifice ever made in the Temple of Jerusalem was Mary offering Jesus to God. Right? You think about that. But
powerful.
And I just wanted to take that one step further, that there is also not just a spirit of sacrifice among the candidates for the priesthood and the men who have become priests, but for families too. Vocations don't happen in a vacuum. And so, you know, I think that young men need to understand that their family would be supportive, that they would
Absolutely.
Join in that sacrifice.
Well said. You know, sacrifice is the language of love.
Amen.
Now, I have something from the Crusade for Priests from the Opus Angelorum, and I was reading this at the Holy Hour, and I mentioned to Matt before the show, Matt, I got to tell you this story. It really touched my soul. I said, yeah, that's a good story. So here it comes. So why do priests need special graces from God? Right? This is from Father John Hardin, too, one of my favorite Jesuits. No, my favorite Jesuit, actually.
Okay.
They need special graces because they have extraordinary responsibilities before God. They are to be more than ordinarily holy, more generous, more zealous, more patient. In a word, those who are responsible for Christ's presence on earth are to be, of all people, most Christ-like. Yes,
sure.
That's Father Hardin. They are to be patterned of what Christ wants all of us to be. Count on all the graces, the grave crises in the church over the century, everybody. And we got one going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them, somehow at heart, was due to the fact that priests have failed the people of God.
Wow.
Yeah, that's profound. Thank you, Father Hardin. Here's what he said, a story. You'll like this story if I got a minute before the break.
Sure.
As long as I live, Father Hardin said, I will never forget the retreat by the late Father Daniel Lord. And you know who he is,
yes, right? Yes, Father Lord is one of my favorite authors.
Gave us Scholastics before our ordination. This is Father Hardin. He recalled the episode of a conversation that Pope Pius XII had with Father Edmund Walsh, then of Georgetown, the Jesuits, who had just returned from the mission in Russia. Wow, I'm going to run out of time. This is going to be good. This is a good teaser, Matt. He says well, there were millions who were starving because of the treachery of the communist over, you know, the overlords. After the famine had abated, Father Walsh was told to meet with the Holy Father. Yeah. Late in the night, Pope Pius XII and a Jesuit were in conversation over the conditions. I love this. The conditions of the church in that day. And the Pope asked Father Walsh, "Who do you think causes the greatest trials in the church? The persecutors? Nero, you know, the communists?" Wait till you hear what he answered. This is an amazing answer.
Are you going to tell us now?
I'm going to wait until the break because the Pope answers his own question. Wait till you see what, hear what Pope Pius XII said and see if this doesn't relate to us, you know, 50, 60, 70 years later. You know, I have an old saying, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
It just seems that history does repeat itself. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold's filling in for Jesse today. Jess will be back on Monday. And by the way, starting Monday, we're going to be broadcasting to the East Coast. So thank you for supporting us to get to that point with the Stations of the Cross. And we're going to be talking on purgatory on Monday. But when we come back, I'll give you what Pope Pius XII answered about the problems in the church. What's the number one problem? You'll be shocked when you hear what he has to say. Get yourself a cup of coffee because you're going to need it for this answer.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Jesse Romero. Join me on a pilgrimage of faith and discovery to Poland for the 100th year anniversary of the birth of St. John Paul II in May of 2020. Together we'll experience the faith, beauty, and culture of Poland and become imbibed with the spirit of John Paul II. We'll visit the town of Wadowice, where John Paul was born, and the city of Krakow, where he was ordained and later became bishop. We'll also travel to Jasna Góra and visit Our Lady of Częstochowa, and we'll have a chance to venerate the original image of the merciful Jesus at St. Faustina's Convent and the city that St. Maximilian Kolbe built for the Immaculata. Finally, we'll pay a visit to Auschwitz, where St. Maximilian Kolbe was martyred. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to worship and discover your own faith at places where St. John Paul II grew in his own love for our Lord. For more information or how to join this pilgrimage, visit my website at jesseromero.com.
Jesus said in Luke 17, "When you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have only done our duty.'" According to St. John of the Cross, God is pleased with the little deeds we do in secret. He takes more pleasure in these than in a multitude of grand works that we may do out of the desire to be seen by others. May God help us to do the things that please Him, and not just to appear great in the eyes of others.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Well, it's Terry and Matthew today. Matthew Arnold here sitting in for Jesse Romero, who's out preaching the gospel to a fallen world. Here with our our fearless leader, Terry Barber. And we were talking before the break. Terry was telling a story that was related by Father John Hardin about a retreat, a priest retreat that was conducted by Father Daniel J. Lord, one of my favorite Jesuit authors. And Father Lord told the story of Father Edmund Walsh, who had returned, and this is probably what, in the early 50s?
Late 40s,
okay. He had just returned from Russia, where he'd seen millions being starved by the treachery of the communist leaders.
Yep.
And he went to report to Pope Pius XII. And then after he told him his story, Pius XII asked him, "What do you think is the greatest evil in the church in the world today?" Perry?
And the Pope answered his own question. "No, it is unfaithful priests." He says, "It is no exaggeration to say that as the priesthood goes, so goes the church."
So in the midst of communism, in the midst of this, they're starving, in the midst of all this persecution, the worst thing, unfaithful priests.
And Matthew, that relates to us. And that's why after this segment, we're going to have a very good priest, Father Jim Anderson, telling his vocation story and how God saved his life through the angels. And just a beautiful story and how he entrusted his priesthood to the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes. And it's also, I mean, his testimony and what Father Hardin had to say, what Father Lord had to say, it tells you that the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, we don't have a whole new set of problems here.
Yeah, and you know,
and the answers remain the same.
That's where I was just going to say, the answers remain the same. Jesus Christ
Amen.
Is the answer. Matthew, I wanted to, because it's Friday, and I know I want to talk on purgatory because I want, but that's going to be on Monday, so you have to wait on Monday to get a whole teaching on purgatory. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the Passion of Christ and why it's beautiful to meditate. And I know you have a story to share with us, but I just want to review that there's no subject for meditation more apt to increase our love for God and to give us the strength in our spiritual life than the sacred passion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The great saints, a doctor of the faith, doctor of the church, St. Alphonsus Liguori, teaches how pleasing it is to Jesus Christ that we should often remember his passion and his shameful death, which he suffered for us. Another great saint, St. Bonaventure, exclaims, "O passion, worthy of love, which renders divine, which renders divine him who meditates upon him." I can go on about the beauty of the meditation, but I want to encourage you, our listener, each Friday, think and read from the Gospels on the Passion. Mm-hmm. Because you know what that does for me? It really shows that God loves me. Because let's face it, if Matt Arnold or Terry Barber was the only person on planet Earth, Jesus Christ would have died on the cross for you or for me.
Yeah.
And I
or
think
for you.
Or for you. And I think that's the message on every Friday we should think about the value of what Jesus Christ did for us.
Absolutely. Of course, and this is well represented in the tradition of the church that Friday is a day, obviously, it's typically that you abstain from meat or you make some sacrifice in your own personal life in honor of Christ's sacrifice for us. But, you know, one of the great traditions for Friday is the Stations of the Cross, I mean, which is itself a meditation on our Lord's Passion.
Amen.
And last week I was in the church and I was making the stations and, you know, you're not going to believe this. And for those of you watching on YouTube, you're especially going to find it hard to believe, but I have a little problem with overindulging when it comes to food, and it's just true. I talk to Jesus Christ, the Lord of your life. He said, "Yes, he is," until I sit down at the table and the food's Lord.
God bless you, Matt. That's humble.
Well, here's the thing, though. In my life, I at one time I smoked cigarettes. I was a tobacco user, and I quit.
Right.
And one time I was, you know, I drank heavily to excess, and I quit. I may have stopped drinking for 2 years and have a drop.
Wow.
But had no ill effects. So, I mean, I've gone back to drinking socially, but I never have more than a couple of drinks in a day because why would you?
That's right? True.
Anyway, the whole point of bringing all this up is that I've been on a diet roller coaster for like 20 years, you know, and I lose 20 pounds and then you gain it back.
I remember because I've been with you 20 years.
That's right. And you've seen that progression. And I did the math a while back and realized that I've actually lost something upwards of 400 pounds in the last 5 years. So if I'd kept it all off, I'd be, you know, my weight would be like negative 25 pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I mean, the point here, though, is meditating on the passion and the effect that it can have on your own life. One of the great meditations on the Passion in our day is that movie by Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
That's a meditation on the Passion. Oh, you really, that's what it is.
Powerful.
And there is the scene there where Jesus is stripped of his garments, which is one of the stations of the cross. And it's very poignant in the film because of the sound effect, because you realize that you know, Christ was scourged so painfully that the blood would have started to coagulate.
Yes.
And so, and then when they tear off his robe, they reopen all those wounds. And I was reading a little meditation, right, from my old, this old prayer book I have from like 1911, I think.
Okay, good.
And it says, Lord Jesus, strip me of my bad habits.
Wow.
And it struck me, of course, that to be stripped of those bad habits, it's going to be painful, just as it was for Jesus to be stripped of his garments, that there isn't an easy way. You know, and that's something that needs to be embraced. But you see, if it weren't for that meditation, you know, I mean, I'm almost 60 years old. You would think that insight might have hit me before now.
Yeah.
but it was through meditating on the Passion of our Lord that, you know, I saw something really important about my own life.
Matthew, thank you for sharing that intimate story about your own self. I would say that here at the Sacred Heart Chapel, you've probably noticed that we have the Stations of the Cross. They're oil paintings that are 145 years old. They're older than the church.
Right.
I got them from Europe, from an old convent that closed.
And they're beautiful.
And they are beautiful. And we do that as part of our Holy Hour on Thursday, the stations. And it always moves me to think about each station because it shows, again, the great love Jesus has for us.
Right. That's one of those things, too. I mean, just a quick history lesson. The Stations of the Cross is a devotion that was in the Holy City, right, in Jerusalem. And it was when St. Francis went there in the 13th century, in the 1200s. He visited Jerusalem, made the way of the cross. It was so powerful for him. And it was he that brought the devotion back to Europe. So when you go into a church and they have the station, sometimes they have paintings and so forth, and all of that is very helpful. But if you look, you will find there'll be a little wooden cross with a Roman numeral.
Yep.
And that's the sacramental. That's the thing that's blessed by the priest or bishop when the stations are installed in the church. And so it's, you know, to get all of the indulgences, meditating on a Passion is something you can and should do, you know, all the time.
Of course.
And anywhere you are. But the stations are special because there is that sacramental aspect to it. And so, I mean, some people have asked, why didn't you put the stations on the app, like you have the rosary on the app? And it's, you know, and that may be something I do, but I don't want people to get the idea that it's the same as going to the church.
No.
Because it's a richly indulgenced prayer, but you have to do the act as well as the prayer. You need to go to the church and go from station to station.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. I'm going to stick myself out, but my reading of history on the Stations of the Cross was that a lot of people couldn't go to the Holy Land.
Absolutely. That was the whole point, is that, you know, it was right in the midst of the Crusades.
It was a little dangerous.
So, yeah, a little dangerous to make that trip. That's why the Crusades were fought in the first place, is so that Christians could have access to the holy places.
Right.
But in that time of danger, yeah, it was Francis of Assisi's going, why not, you know, if we can't make it to the Holy Land, why not bring the devotion here?
Well, since we're talking about St. Francis of Assisi, Advent will be coming up soon.
So it is.
And we have the Christ the King the last Sunday of November, which is one of your favorite and my favorite feast days. But Matthew, St. Francis of Assisi not only helped with the Stations of the Cross, did he not also bring the nativity scene?
Right, the creche scene. That was another one of St. Francis's contributions to our spiritual life. And, of course, the original creche scenes were what we would call living nativities.
That's right.
Right, where they had real animals and actors, you know, portraying the... I remember that as a kid. You know, I grew up unchurched. Like a lot of families, my family kind of just stopped going to the church in the early 60s when I was just a little kid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, we still had grace before meals and prayers before bedtime. And you know, we might make it to the sunrise service on Easter. But Christmas, for every kid, you know, growing up in Southern California when I was, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, it was a big deal. And we used to have a living nativity in front of City Hall.
That's right.
You know, in the days when you could do that.
Yep.
You know, and there's this giant fir tree and they would have all the people. But it's interesting to me, too, and this is just a quick aside, that some of our separated brethren will chastise Catholics for having statues in the church and that sort of thing. And it's like, but all of a sudden, come Christmas time.
It's interesting, too.
All of a sudden, the statues come out in everybody's house.
Matthew, before Father Jim comes, Jim Anderson, who's a priest who's going to join us in a few minutes, I want to just get your take on a prayer that I read at Holy Hour last night from St. Mother Teresa. It touched me, and I gave it to you, and they said, yeah, that's pretty good. And it really touched me because Mother Teresa, who's a saint now, did this prayer, as part of the community of her sisters. They would pray, Dear Jesus. You like that? Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. I mean, she's saying, shine through us. That's what we pray every day, everyone, that we will be a conduit of God's love to our family and to our friends.
It's like that's St. Paul. I live now, not I, but Christ liveth in me.
That's where she's getting it from. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come in contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Wow. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. Where'd she get that, Matt?
Yeah, St. Paul. Yeah.
Stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine. So to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours. See, get out of the way, Terry.
Yeah, right.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it's of course, it's a beautiful prayer, but I like the simplicity. Mm-hmm. There's no ambiguity there.
No.
It's very direct. It's very concise. And it speaks to Jesus in a familiar way, but remains reverent.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Jesus,
oh,
she
I love
says,
that.
You know, not, oh, almighty Lord, but dear Jesus. And then she goes on to say, yeah, possess my soul. Take possession of me in such a way that when people see me, all they see is you. How else could she, you think about her ministry, how could she have accomplished that if it was about Mother Teresa? If it had ever been about Mother Teresa, they wouldn't even have gotten off the ground.
Well said. When we come back from the break, folks, we've got Father Jim Anderson. He's going to be talking about his own priesthood because we want to build people up with the good news of Jesus Christ. And when you hear a priest who talks about his own vocation and how God intervened in his life and even saved his life through the angels, you won't want to miss that. If you also want to become a monthly donor, this is key for us at Virgin Most Power. We pay our monthly bills by monthly donors. Call us, 877-526-2151, or go to the website.
That's right, vmpr.org.
We'll be back with Father Jim Anderson to talk about how God saved him as a Catholic priest.
Welcome to our January 11th, 2020 Spiritual Warfare Conference. Every year without fail, this is our most popular, well-attended event. This year's Spiritual Warfare Conference will host Adam Bly, a Catholic demonologist, and an auxiliary member of the International Association of Exorcists, along with Dr. Luis Sandoval, a psychiatrist who's part of the Healing, Deliverance, and Exorcism team for the Diocese of Orange. These two gentlemen bring tons of experience and expertise in the area of spiritual warfare. This is going to be a high-information Catholic seminar. I'll be there as well, sharing some riveting stories on the diabolical and liberation found through Jesus Christ from my best-selling book, The Devil in the City of Angels. Mark your calendars, come and join us, and meet other radio hosts from Jesus 911. Contrary to popular belief, spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. It's Christ-centered. Come join us and learn how to armor up and fight the good fight of faith. Catholics, wake up. Don't hit the snooze button. Join us at St. Christopher Catholic Church, 629 South Glendora Avenue, West Covina, California, on January 11, 2020. See you then. Strength and honor in Jesus' name.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber.
Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Well, it's Terry and Matthew this week, this day, I should say, here on Friday. Yep. Jesse's out. Matthew Warnell sitting in for him along with our host, Terry Barber. And so glad to have you with us. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be able to do this at all. So it's like no point in having a show if you're not listening. We were meant to start our interview with Father Williams.
Father James Anderson.
James Anderson. He's not Father Williams at all. I don't know where I got that from, Father James.
I was thinking that myself.
I know. He's an old friend of the apostles. Absolutely. And I think I had another priest jumped in there. But he is not responding, and he's a priest. So that means one of a couple of things, most likely that he's helping somebody in their spiritual life right now.
I think of the story of Bishop Sheen. You know, many of those who know, I was at his funeral 40 years ago, and I'm just a Fulton Sheen fan, so to speak, and I read anything I can on him. And this new book that's coming out from Ignatius Press called My Uncle Fulton Sheen by Joan Sheen Cunningham, she actually had a lot of contact with Bishop Sheen for just most of Bishop Sheen's apostolic works. And she told a story. When Bishop Sheen was at the end of his life, this was in 1977, he had to have a lot of heart surgeries, and they were doing a blood transfusion for him because he was losing blood. And here he is in the hospital. Picture this, everybody, about a priest. He's in bed. There's all kinds of nurses and doctors working on him. He's conscious of what's going on, and he hears the nurse talking about someone on the other bed who's also dying. They're having all kinds of problems. Can't get a heartbeat. There's this. So Fulton Sheen ends up saying with his hand, he picks his hands up. He's as weak as a kitten because his heart's going out. Mm-hmm. And he gives an apostolic blessing to the other person in the bed.
Wow.
And within 2 minutes after he just, you know, collapsed because he could barely get his hand up to do the apostolic blessing, that individual dies.
Wow.
And now Fulton Sheen comes to consciousness, you know, because they helped him with his heart surgery, and he lived another year and a half. But I think of how he was so zealous in reaching souls.
Yes, and even when it cost him, you know, exhaustion, and he was, you know,
his last
conceivably,
breath.
Yeah, at the end of his life, and he's, you know.
Yeah, he's out there doing apostolic work. Now, she told me they also went out in the halls when he got on his feet and was visiting all the patients, hearing confessions. He reminded me of, like, St. Maximian Kolbe. Mm-hmm. So when Bishop Sheen becomes beatified soon, we're going to know a lot about his life, mm-hmm. and I'll be one to tell you about it. Hey, I just realized Father Jim Anderson is on the line with us, and he's a close friend for probably about 30 years that I've known of Father. And like I said, I know he was an attorney at one time, late vocation, and his story and his love for the Blessed Mother and our Lord are just extraordinary. Father Jim Anderson, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. I think we got a Father. Oh, keep going. Okay, well, we're having some technical difficulties.
No, he's good.
Father Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Oh, there now I hear you, Father. That was probably my earphones. Father, thanks for joining us. And I asked you the other day if you would join us because I want to build people up about how God intervenes in people's lives. And I've been talking about the priesthood and how we pray for priests every Thursday here at the Terry and Jesse Show at the Sacred Heart Chapel, a couple hours a day on Thursdays, commemorating the priesthood and the Eucharist. And I've known you all these years, and I know that you're very zealous and that, you know, you've been trying to reach souls with the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His Mother. And I wanted to ask you if you could share some stories with our listeners of how God has intervened in your life.
Oh, I'd be happy to do that. I want to make a little preface, though.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Recently, there's plenty of reasons to pray, and when you pray and you're really an extremist, mm-hmm. which means that you're not going to be able to extract yourself by yourself. You need help. When you're an extremist and you pray to God to be that one to help you, mm-hmm. you really are praying with faith, and you believe that God is going to reach out to you. And I want to share with you a couple of moments in my life like that, but I want to make a preface by saying we're all in that situation right now because of what's been going on in the church. We know all of those things, but most recently we all know that because of the so-called Pachamama idolatrous rituals that have gone on, invited into the sanctuary of the mm-hmm. church. And that makes us all in extremis. And I just want to mention, Faith, that there's plenty of reason to believe that on the 6th of October, Sister Agnes Tasagawa was given an additional message, mm-hmm. 6th of October this year, given an additional message from the Lord to share with us to put on ashes, sackcloth and ashes, and to pray every day a rosary of repentance. Mm-hmm. And you know, I take that very seriously. I could share a lot of reasons why I believe that really is coming from Our Lady to Sister Agnes. But anyway,
it's still good advice, Father.
And Father, Sister Our Lady of Akita, we spoke about that message just 2 days ago. So that's good that you're bringing it up. But continue, please.
Well, I want to share with you way back, about 10 years ago, mm-hmm. I was visiting a very good lady friend who
yep.
you know.
I know her well.
Margaret, she's with the Lord now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming back with two German Shepherds and an SUV full of gear
yep.
on Route 10,
yep.
going north about Alhambra area, and it had just gotten dark, and it was raining, and I was in the fast lane, and I was doing about 75, which is about as slow as you can go in that lane without having everybody push you out of the way. All of a sudden, my Nissan SUV just started rumbling and rattling, and it was obvious that I couldn't drive it any further. But there was so much traffic, I couldn't move over to the right to get down mm-hmm. into the slow lane or into the side lane. So I just slowly stopped, and all the cars behind me saw me stopping, and so they stopped, and they were able to get around me. But, you know, in that situation, you're not going to live much longer.
Right,
right,
and,
yeah.
So I had my cell phone. I called AAA, and they said, well, you're in a bad way, but it's going to be at least 25, 30 minutes before we can get a tow truck to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if that's the best you can do, you know, send a hearse.
So, okay,
we're gonna call a tow truck, and we're gonna call the CHP. I said, well, okay, that's great, thank you. Then I turned the phone off, and I said, I've had a devotion to Saint Joseph for mm-hmm. years.
Yep.
I said, Saint Joseph, this is it. This is it. You've got to come to my help right now, or there's going to be a dead priest. And there's probably going to be 30 or 40 other people involved in the pileup that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, within 90 seconds, a tow truck showed up behind my car.
Wow.
All this light going. So I'm safe now. I'm shaking because this is a scary moment. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking it's all over if Joseph doesn't come to my help. So then this tow truck driver comes to my window, and I said, are you from AAA? He says, no. I'm just a tow truck driver, and I'm here to save your life. He says, do what I say. So, make a long story short, I did
it.
What he said. He pulled me safely over to the side, and he came back to the window, and I gave him my credit card. He said, yeah, here's the credit card. He says, I don't need that. I said, well, who are you? He said, I'm just a tow truck driver to save your life. And off he went.
Wow. I love that story, Father.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. St. Joseph. I love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, the prayer was, I knew there was nothing I could do at that point. And there was nothing anybody else could do. And so I asked in prayer to St. Joseph, you know, and I believe it was Joseph, you know, maybe it was my guardian angel, but I like to believe it was Joseph anyway. Mm-hmm. They took care of me, you know. Pretty soon the Highway Patrol came, and then the AAA truck came, and they changed. It turned out to be a blown tire, but in any event, it's just one of those occasions when you need God and you pray with faith and you believe He's going to help you. And He helps you. So there you are.
Father, when we come back from the break, I know you have a story about all the fires. You live near where all the California fires have been going on. And you have, I think, a story that I think would inspire our listeners. And I'd like you to tell that. Quick story also, one of the sisters here in West Covina, Mother Lily's group, down in Tecate, back in June, they had a fire that was threatening their monastery. And in the middle of the night, the sisters got up, took off their scapulars and put them on the ground where the fire was coming to consume their monastery. They prayed that Our Lady would protect the monastery. And for God's providence, through our intercession of Our Lady, the winds changed and the fire went in another direction, but it got within 30 feet of the building.
Wow.
And so these are...
Well...
Now, go ahead, Father.
Well, I can identify with that, brother. I can identify with that.
Yeah, well, when we come back, I want to hear your story about you living near in Southern California, where we've been having lots of fires, and how God intervened in that one, too. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Matt Arnold's filling in for Jess. My good friend, Father Jim Anderson, retired military chaplain. He's got many great stories, too, about being in the military. That's why I asked him to come and tell some good inspirational stories to help us all realize that, you know, we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be billionaires. And that's what we're all about here at Virgin Most Powerful, charity with clarity. But we want people to know that a relationship with Jesus Christ and His mother and the bride, the church, is essential to getting to heaven.
That's right. All about living in reality, and that reality includes an eternity in heaven or hell.
Life is short, eternity is forever, folks. When we come back, Father Jim Anderson is going to tell us a wonderful story about how God intervened in his life regarding these California fires. Get yourself another cup of coffee. You might want to make it a little stronger because this is a good story. We'll be back in a moment. Hi, this is Terry Barber. I want to share with you a wonderful program called The Legacy of Love and Devotion. Well, what is it? Well, it's where you share your life and love of your Catholic faith with your family for the next century and beyond. Let's face it, our Lord is going to call you home at some time, and how are you going to evangelize your relatives in the future? Well, by coming into my studio by a telephone call and telling your story of how you love Jesus and Mary and the church, and giving information to your grandchildren and beyond their love for the Catholic faith. How does it work? I'm going to tell you more if you call me on my cell phone, 661-972-7872, and I'll give you all the details of how you can pass on your Catholic faith to the next generation and the following generations. A very unique program. I want to tell you more about it. Call me at 661-972-7872. God love you.
Sirach 11:24 says, "Do not say, 'I am self-sufficient. What harm can come to me now?'" According to St. Catherine of Siena, presumption is like vermin burrowing at the root of the tree of our soul. If we do not uproot it with great care and humility, it will eventually destroy the soul. May God keep us from all presumption of mind and heart, and realize that we depend on Him for everything.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Hey, welcome back. It's not Terry and Jesse. It's Terry and Matt on Fridays a lot of times. And and I think last week we had Father Murr. And so, Matt, thanks for filling in again for us.
Always a pleasure. Hey, an honor to be here. By the way,
that's what I was going to say.
I was going to be here anyway, yeah, because Happy Hour comes up next, which is...
Well, what's your topic? Let's tease them.
I'm going to be talking... Well, I'm going to be talking about the readings for this coming Sunday in the Extraordinary Form, which is the... it's one of the parables, and I will leave you there.
Yep.
Also, we're going to be talking about civic duties. You know, render unto Caesar. That's actually the gospel reading. Now that I think of it, I was thinking about the one we read earlier in this program. It's where the Pharisees come to him and say, "Is it lawful to pay taxes?" So we're going to talk a little bit about the church and state. We're going to talk about the laity, and we're going to be talking a little bit about the virtue of piety.
That follows right after today's show.
Yep.
Hey, with Father Jim Anderson is joining us. If you'd missed a story about he talked about how God intervened through St. Joseph on saving him from Interstate 10 freeway in a rainy day, you can hear it on the podcast later because it's a powerful one. But Father Jim, also you have a story regarding the forest fires that have been all through California this year. Can you tell us your experience, that what happened to you this last couple weeks?
Well, this didn't happen a couple of weeks. This happened seven years ago.
Oh, okay. What happened?
The last time we had a big round of fires like this.
A lot of fires, yeah.
Oh, we have them periodically. You have a lot of rain at the wrong time, and it brings up the grass, and there you go. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I retired from the Navy Chaplain Corps in 1999, mm-hmm. and for various reasons, I ended up living with permission of my community missionaries, the Holy Apostles, in Santa Maria, California, and I met some great Catholic laymen in the Knights of Columbus, and with their help, I built a shrine, the Cross of Duzelay, in the hills at the elevation of 2,500 feet, mm-hmm. 20 miles east of Santa Maria. Mm-hmm. Off a road called Tepeske Road, and we were up there working, and I saw way off into the east smoke coming, and about the area of Nucuyama, which is about another 30 miles, and I called in 911. They said, "Yeah, that's a fire. It's been reported, and we're on it." Well, a week later, it had raged and raged and raged, and now it was just at the next ridge from our cross of Duzelay, mm-hmm. and I had no idea how it was going to stop it. I've been praying and praying, and then somebody told me, you know, there's a sister, Marie Rose de Rocher, mm-hmm. who is a blessed. She's a French Canadian sister who worked teaching children, but she has a particular apostolate in heaven of stopping fires through her intercession.
I love it.
So I went home.
Yeah.
I went home and went to my little chapel and prayed. This was a Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., and I prayed the Holy Mass and offering it through the intercession of Sister Marie Rose de Rocher, and that's exactly what I did. And at 3 p.m. That Friday afternoon, as you had mentioned in the other case, the winds changed. And for the first time, the firefighters were able to get command of that fire, mm-hmm. and stopped it. And that saved the whole area, and it was a beautiful result. Again, 2 years ago, we had another fire, this time coming from the west. And it had come to the ridge right next to where the shrine was.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed again. I didn't celebrate Mass, but I prayed and prayed. And the next thing, the firefighters lit back fires right along Tepeske Road going west, and they met that fire at the ridge, and it stopped in its tracks.
Wow.
And a couple days later, when they let you drive up there, I drove through, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And again, I credit that to prayer with great faith to the Lord through the Rose.
Wonderful.
So I recommend that anybody whose homes may be threatened, her name is Marie Rose DeRocher, and you can find out all about her by just going to the internet.
Fantastic story. Father Jim Anderson, thank you for joining us today with these wonderful, inspirational stories of how God intervenes in people's lives. And I really think, Matt and Father, I think many times we don't even realize the intervention of God in our life, where our lives have been saved or something happens and we don't even see it until maybe years later. Has that ever happened to you, Father Jim?
Well, it's happened many times. My vocation, I was called to the priesthood in when I was a boy, mm-hmm. you know, at St. Joseph's School in Bakersfield, California, and you know, the groups we would get together and play lots of games. That one of our games would be the Mass,
mm-hmm.
and we'd celebrate Holy Mass. And but as it turned out, as a young man, many things took me in different directions, and
sure.
It was finally after I had been practicing law for 3 years in Southern California that I began to see this was going nowhere, and I answered the call to study for the priesthood.
Thanks be to God.
So. Yeah. Thank you for your yes to Jesus. And I might add, before we let you go, Father also taught at Holy Apostles Seminary in Cromwell, Connecticut, and forming young priests.
Oh, yeah. That's...
I was the academic dean there for 3 years, and... It was a great experience. Let me just say one thing.
Sure.
You mentioned earlier about Akita.
Yes.
Let me say there's a great documentary. It's only 60 minutes called Akita and the Fatima Secret. You can get it on YouTube.
Yep.
And if anybody wants to really to get up to date on what Sister Agnes Asagawa mm-hmm. is saying, watch that video, Akita, Fatima Secret.
Got it. I wrote it down. I don't know if I've watched that, but I'll sure look it up. Father Jim Anderson, thank you for joining us here at the Terry and Jesse Show.
Yeah, what a
blessing.
Can we
get a priestly blessing, please?
Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We pray God's Holy Spirit guide you in all your ways and decisions. God's holy angels protect you from the evil one, and that you have the grace to be lovingly docile and obedient to your holy angels. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Father,
thank you for being generous, and may God richly bless you and your work in bringing souls to Christ. God love you, Father.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, what a blessing. I love Father. And yeah, and that's the thing, too. You mentioned the Holy Apostle Seminary.
Yeah, you've got a connection there.
Right. Well, the last time I spoke with Father Anderson, we were talking about Father Bill McCarthy,
yep.
who's the professor of Marian Studies out there. He's in his 80s now, I think, and just... And both of these men, they're such an inspiration because of their, you know, continued activity, because of the energy they expend at a time when most of us have, you know, long since given up that kind of thing.
Well said. Matthew, I'm going to call him Jesse again. We always end our shows talking about the five stones of David, how he took care of Goliath with five stones.
Right.
We spiritually have five stones that we here at the Terry and Jesse Show talk about as a way to be holy. And so our first stone that we talk about is on Fridays, we want to be able to fast. Now that means fasting could be from food. It could be fasting from gossip. It could be a lot of fat types of fasting. That's number one, every Friday to do that. Number two, pray your rosary every day. Our Lady of Fatima, Akita, I mean, Our Lady's...
Yeah, again and again and again.
You think?
She always recommends the rosary.
Right, so daily rosary. Go to Mass as often as possible. And I mean that, especially people who are listening who are retired or in a position to go to daily Mass, go to Mass as often as possible. It's the source and summit of the Christian life. Now, another one, confession. What it mean? Once a month at least. People say, oh, I can go once a year. Well, that's the minimum. If you really are serious about living a Christ-centered life, confession is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, I'm going to put in a, I'm going to put in a 2 cents right there real quick. A lot of people, it's been drilled into people's heads that they go to Mass and receive communion. You need to receive communion well. St. Paul says if you must examine yourself and you must discern the body and blood of Christ, and if you, you know, fail to do that, then you're guilty of the body and blood of Christ. You should not receive communion if you are not in a state of grace, or at least believe yourself to be in a state of grace. So confession is that is the key to the good reception of the Blessed Sacrament.
Well said. And also read the Bible every day. You know, we say at the beginning of the show, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. It's not, I mean, think about all the wasted time. I thought about that myself. I watched my nephew, Dr. Barber, with my wife being interviewed by Father Mitch Pacwa on his new book for an hour. And we just thoroughly loved it. But we could have been watching some stupid movie or some stupid thing on TV, but we were, in other words, our priorities are what's going to help me have a greater relationship with Jesus Christ. And so I just want to examine myself each day. What am I using my time for?
Terry, the average American watches 5.5 hours of television a night.
Give me a break.
And then these days are probably on the internet at the same time. So I got something to say, though.
Say it.
You can read the Gospel of Mark out loud in just about 2 hours.
That's all?
Yeah, and I know that from personal experience.
Okay.
So I can tell you right now that in a week's time, next week, from Monday through Friday, in the time, in less than the time that you would normally spend watching television, you can read all four Gospels. And if you've never read the Gospels all the way through, that's my challenge.
Yep, good challenge. Remember what Our Lady of Fatima said about, you know, you have a son or daughter that's left the church. Everybody seems to have fallen away relatives. Sure. She said, souls are going to hell. Remember what she said about, she gave the analogy like snowflakes are falling. So anybody who tells you nobody goes to hell, don't believe them. Our Lady said that they're going to hell many times because there's no one there to pray and make sacrifices. So we can do just that.
Amen.
And again, Matt, before we roll, and again, Matt's got another hour right after our show, so stay tuned. Don't turn that dial.
Yeah, coherence and relevance.
Yes.
Another topic coming up.
Absolutely. Matthew, I want to ask you a tough question. What state should we be living in, brother?
That would be the state of grace, Terry.
And what state shouldn't we be living in?
We would not want to live in the state of mortal sin, not even visit.
That's what Jess says. And don't forget, if you're waiting for someone to encourage you to go to confession, that's me! I'm going Saturday. Get in line. It's good for the soul.
Amen.
Now, I want to thank all of you, each one of you, for all the support you've given to Virgin Most Powerful. We're going to have coming up with our 2-year anniversary in January. And on Monday, we're going to be broadcasting to the East Coast through Stations of the Cross. We couldn't have
Radio.
Done it without you.
Yeah,
you want to be a you want to join us? I'll give you my cell number. Call me. 661-972-7872. May God richly bless you and your family, and full sheen ahead. Up next, Matt Arnold.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.